You became one of us. And you died on the cross for my place, for our place. And you gave us life. Thank you for opening our eyes. And thank you for purchasing us with your blood. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you shower upon us. And God, we want to live for your purposes and for your glory. And we pray that you would pour out blessings over our time of studying your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, think back, just for a minute. Think back to a time when you were a kid. And someone did something very special, something for you that you'll never forget. You got it? Is it? Wow. Well, then I'll share with you a couple of mine then. When I was about 9 years old, I went to stay with my oldest brother who was living in California, Hector. And he was with his wife at the time, and they lived in Long Beach. And I stayed with them for about 6 months. Now, during the time that I was out there, they took me to Disneyland Park in Anaheim, California. You know what that was like for me? At that time, it was incredible. And I'll never forget the experience. I remember Space Mountain. It was epic, man. It was an amazing ride. And at such a young age, I remember there was points in the ride where I was almost speechless. I could barely get words out. And it was great. But you know, what I'll never forget, and as funny as this might sound, was a little yellow souvenir flashlight that they bought me that had a picture of Mickey Mouse imprinted on that little flashlight. I love that flashlight. I loved it. It was like the coolest thing to me, of course, at that time. And they did it for me. I'll never forget it. A different brother, Michael, who is about 10 years older than I am, he picked my name out of the family Christmas grab bag, and he bought me my first Tyco race car track. How many of you remember the race car track? Oh, I love that track. I'll never forget that track. I would play for hours, and the cars would go so fast, and I'd get them to whip around so fast. I don't remember what I would do, maybe lubricate something. I don't remember, but I'd get them to whip around so fast that they end up flying off the track. It was just so much fun. Now, I'm sure all of us have certain positive things from our childhood that have just stuck with us, things that we'll just never forget. But now think of all the things that you have forgotten from your childhood. I'm sorry, you can't do that because you've forgotten about them. But right, there's so many things. There's few things you could remember, but there are so many things that you have forgotten. And you know, this is a chronic problem. It's a chronic problem of humanity. We are prone to forget. That's the kind of people we are. We are forgetful people. We forget birthdays. We forget anniversaries. We forget appointments. You know, there was online a top 10 list, and there's so many other things, but this top 10 list of most common things people forget was number one, essentials. Essentials. And they say, since people with smartphones typically have them glued to their hands, isn't that true? People are more likely to forget where they left their wallet or keys. Phone, keys, and wallet placement remain the most forgotten things. The second thing was, and this is so funny, why you went into a room. Yes. You go in a room, and then you get there and you think, what did I come here for? And then you go, you sit down, you know, and then you get comfortable, and then you remember. It's like, ah. Or where you parked. That happened to me in Puerto Rico. I was in I went to Plaza Las Americas, and then I don't remember where I parked my car. It was the best thing because I had no particular place to go. So it was not a big deal, but I forgot where I parked my car. So I had to walk around Sears until I found what seemed to look right and then press the button. I was like, yeah, this is so much fun. I could be a kid. Or how about this? Maybe you did this week. You forgot to defrost the meat for dinner. Or names. It's a huge one. Forget names all the time. Phone numbers. Now that's because a large part of the reason is we save them on our cell phones. There's so many people you call on a regular basis and you don't know their number. If you lost your phone, you would never be able to contact them. Or things you intend to buy at the grocery store. How many times have you gone with a list in your head and you come back with like five things missing? Do you hate that? Paying bills. And those of you who have fish, did you feed your fish today? They're often forgotten. Or feeding plants, giving them water. And then, as I already said, birthdays, anniversaries, and things like that. Well, you know what? God, he knows this about us. That is that we are forgetful people. And this is why so often you'll find in the scriptures where God will tell his people, remember certain things. And that's what I titled this evening's message, Remember. Remember. And this leads us to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And just for a couple examples, look at verse 3. Here, God, through Moses, in verse 3, he said, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. Remember this day. Look at verse 9, same chapter. And it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. If I were to give this message a real big idea, if I were to give these 16 verses that we're going to be looking at tonight the big idea, the big idea of what God is saying here to the children of Israel who he had just delivered them out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt, is this. Remember that God delivered you out of bondage. Remember that God delivered you out of bondage. He says this over and over and over again in these few verses that we're going to read. And in order for them to remember, because God knows that we are a people that tend to forget. Now, you know, something profound can happen to you, and you may not forget what happened to you, but the impact gets lost over time. Sometimes something that we were so grateful for, or someone that we appreciated so much because of something that they did, over time, you start to lose that appreciation. And God knows that about us. God knows that about his people. And you could see how the people drifted. Over time, they drifted because they didn't use intentionality, where they weren't intentional about remembering. And God wanted them to remember that he delivered them out of bondage. It was so important that he gave them four helps for them to remember. The first of the four was this, consistent commemoration. We'll see in the verses what I mean specifically by that. Another thing to help them remember was consistent education. The third thing was consistent dedication. And then the fourth thing was consistent repetition. Four things so helpful to remember. Now, repetition might seem like, well, that's the same as remembering, but obviously it's not. It's taking something that you're supposed to remember and just getting it ingrained and hearing it over and doing it over and hearing it over. But commemoration, education, dedication, and repetition. And so here in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. He's going to talk about this more in the chapter, and we'll get to it when he talks about it more in the chapter. But here God talks to Moses, and he says, listen, I want you to talk to the people. I want you to talk to the people and start laying out some things for them in order for them to remember how they were delivered out of bondage. And so he gets into the details in verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You remember, it wasn't something that they did. They couldn't. This was a people that for a good chunk of the over 400 years that they were in Egypt, many of those years they were in harsh, brutal bondage. It was extremely difficult for them. Every day was filled with anguish and heavy burdens. And it was getting worse and worse. And they were crying out to God. They were crying out, help. And they didn't even really truly know the God that they were crying out to. But they had known their history to some degree. They understood the history and they knew that God was going to deliver them someday because it was prophesied. And God, who is always faithful to his word, he came and he delivered his people. He heard their cries. And he brought them out of that terrible bondage that they were in. We understand that Egypt is like a type of the world. And they were brought out of that world of cruel bondage. They couldn't do it themselves. They were crying out. They needed help. And the scriptures tell us that it was God's strong and mighty hand that delivered them. And there would have been no other way for them to deliver themselves. There was no other way. God had to deliver them. And you know that God, there's nothing too difficult for God. Nothing. And God had no problem delivering them. And he would have delivered them with or without Pharaoh's consent, but Pharaoh did fight, didn't he? Pharaoh was a fighter. And God knew this. But through that whole experience, the people of God were going to see the mighty hand of God and how powerful God was to deliver them. In delivering them, he was mighty. And yet something so powerful that happened in their history, as you study the history, by many of them, it was soon forgotten what he had done. And so, he says, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. And so now here, he establishes and he tells them, I want you to set up consistent commemoration. He tells them in verse 4, on this day you are going out in the month Abib, which would correlate to our March-April time frame. It shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you hundreds of years before. And now he is faithful to bring them to that promised land. And he was fulfilling his word to them, his promises to them. And God always fulfills his promises. He has never and will never fail on a single promise. That's why when you're down and out or you're going through a hard time and you're losing hope, you're discouraged about your circumstance in life, the most important thing you can do is to get in the scriptures and look at the promises of God and highlight those promises and encourage your soul with the promises of God, because the promises of God, they never fail. And they will lift you up and remind you of his good word and his good intent towards you. And so, he was faithful to fulfill his word. And he says, listen, I'm bringing you to the promised land. I'm taking you to that place. This is a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. Now, we understand that Passover took place, and now he's instituting, with connection with the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this was to be a consistent commemoration, something that was to be done every single year. And it would be done for 7 days, for 7 days. They would not eat leavened bread. Remember, when they left Egypt, they didn't have time to wait for the dough to rise. They had to be ready to leave in haste. And so they had unleavened bread and they took off. They had to leave. When God said it was time to go, it's time to move, they had to move. And so now in commemoration, they would, once they were settled in the promised land, every year they were to have this festival for 7 days. There would be no unleavened bread or no bread with leaven in it. And we know leaven is a type of sin, but that's a whole other thing. But this was 7 days in a row, every single year, would leave an impression. It would be something for you to remember. And for 7 days, they would think, this is because we're remembering what God did for me, what God did for us. He delivered us out of that bondage that we were in. We cried out to him, and he heard our cries, and he delivered us. He delivered me. And so he tells them, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. You know how much work that had to be? How much time and energy to make sure that there was no leaven anywhere, nowhere in your house, nothing? You had to clean house. You had to go through so much. And that was to leave an imprint. And every year after year after year, to just be as a reminder, especially to those who were delivered. But this would be something that would go on for generations and generations and still being commemorated. And so from consistent commemoration, now he uses this as a means to help them to remember by consistent education. God would use this as a means to educate the next generation. And he says, and you shall tell your son, you should tell your children, so that your children would know what I have done for you. And your children would grow up knowing that I, your God who delivered you, am the same God that loves your children. I am their God. And it's your responsibility to teach them, to tell them about me, and to invest me into them. He says, you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. Did you catch those two words? For me. I love that. He didn't say what he's done for us, although he did for them, a multitude of people. Could have been 2 million, some suppose maybe 3 million people. But it made it so personal. This is what God did for me, my children, my son. God delivered me. I was in terrible bondage, and God delivered me. And I want you to know what God did for me. And I want you to know the God that delivered me. And this would take place every year. And generation after generation would be teaching and educating the next generation in order for the people to not forget and generations to not forget. And he says in verse 9, and it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And think of the imagery that is being painted here. It's like he's saying, obviously there was no sign in the hand or in the eyelids or anything like that or between the eyes, but that's how impressionable God wanted this to be, how memorable God wanted this to be, that even just in a sense, like being a sign, looking at your hands, you would be reminded of how God delivered you. You know, between your eyes, like you could see, it would be a reminder of how God delivered you. The things you touch, you use your hands, the things you could see, and your mouth, you're speaking the law. It wouldn't depart from the mouth. I mean, that much a part of your being that God delivered. God delivered you. And God wanted this to be such a memorable thing. And so he moves on to verse 11 to consistent dedication. And it says, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Because a donkey wasn't a clean animal. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. In other words, if you're not going to redeem it, then you're not going to use it either. It'll be of no value. And that's how it is. When God's called us to redeem things, to dedicate things, and we don't, something that could have such great value, it becomes useless as far as God is concerned. And all the firstborn of men among you, your sons, you shall redeem. So it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? He says that you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. So here there's this implementation of this setting apart, this continual setting apart of the firstborn of everything. And even the sons, the oldest sons, and then they would redeem the oldest son. And so a lot of these animals were used for sacrifice. And then the firstborn, the male son, would be dedicated. Everything would be dedicated to the Lord, all the firstborn, because God had taken out all the firstborn of the Egyptians and saved them. And he delivered them. He was the deliverer. And so in a sense, as the deliverer, now he became the owner, the purchaser, and he had the rights to request of them that they would be dedicated, and they would dedicate everything, the firstborn that came, everything of the firstborn that came, including their sons. And then, of course, they would redeem the son by giving animals, because there was no human sacrifice, not in Christianity or in the faith. And so here was this idea of constant dedication, where when these things took place and the kids would ask about it. Why are you doing this? What does this all mean? And it would give the parents, again, an opportunity through the dedication to educate their children. And then constant repetition. Look at verse 16. And it shall be a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. This setting apart, this dedicating, this commemorating, this annual celebration, all these things would be done on a regular basis. And then he repeats this again, the sign on your hands. It's just repeating the same thing. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. In this chapter, verse 3, he says, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Verse 8 repeats the same thing, maybe in different words, but it's the same idea. Verse 9, the same thing. Verse 14, the same thing. Verse 16, the same thing. Repetition, repeating, in order to remember. Now, we're going to wrap things up here, but don't get too excited because the wrap-up's probably going to take another 10, 15 minutes. But if you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he said, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know, we're not a part of that whole Jewish system, and Christ fulfilled the whole Jewish system and the law and all of that. It's all been fulfilled in Christ. But these were the things that God had instructed for the children of Israel in order for them to remember how God had delivered them. And he was teaching them as a people who did not know their God and preparing them for their future in the land. But there's valuable things for us for our day, because obviously we don't practice any of these things that they had to practice. That was a part of their faith and their regular religious system. And when I say religious, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it in the purest sense of the word. But these things are for our learning. And what can the take-homes be for us? Well, for us, the take-home is similar in this regard. It was by the strength of hand the Lord delivered you. The Lord delivered me out of this world system. We're in this world system that is it's designed to keep men in bondage. Keep men in bondage to sin. This world system does not want to let people go to serve the Lord. I mean, think about, haven't you heard, I, as a pastor, have heard so many times from people who have said, man, as soon as I start to try to follow the Lord, it seems like all hell breaks loose. It seems like things got real hard and everything just, now that doesn't happen for everybody, but for some people, I've heard that testimony over and over again because the world system is governed by Satan. He is the great adversary of the soul, and he doesn't want to let people go. And there are people that are in the world, and they're tired of the bondage. That was you, right? That was you and me. We're tired of the bondage, tired of the sin, regardless of whatever social status you were in. You cannot escape. You could be moral, and yet in the heart be so sinful. Remember the rich young ruler? He was moral. He says, this one thing you lack, will sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. A good man, a moral man, a wealthy young man. And yet, he loved his possessions more than he loved the Savior, more than he loved God. And he couldn't let it go. And there's a world of people that they're either moral but they're in bondage to something. But some, like you and I, we've called out, we've cried out, we said, God, deliver me, I can't do this. You know how many times I went to bed at night thinking, I cannot believe the person I've become. I had done things that I would have never imagined myself doing. And thinking, I got to change. That's it. This is it. I'm done with this. To only wake up the next day, and after a few hours into that day, the temptation would start. And I'd say, nah, I'm not going to do that. And before you know it, by the evening, I was out doing the very thing I thought I'd never do again. I couldn't. Sin is too powerful. I can't save myself. And Satan is too powerful. He kept pulling me, the temptation. But Jesus, he heard those cries. And I'll never forget, I was in Dallas, Texas, and he spoke to me. I was reading his word, and I just felt in my being. I didn't hear words. I felt in my being him say, I love you. And I felt conviction come upon my soul and my spirit. But it wasn't a conviction where I felt condemned. I felt like I need to turn to God, and I was really sorry. But he did that. And when I said, I'm sorry and I want you to be real in my life, like there was other folks that had witnessed to me, and I wanted God. I just didn't know how. I didn't. But he heard those cries. I'll never forget, before I went to Texas, I was driving for 4 hours crying. For 4 hours crying and asking God for help. And going through the radio station, just any Christian radio I could find, I would listen as I made that journey by myself as an 18-year-old kid, trying to get away from everything that I was involved with because I was so hurting and miserable inside. And I knew there had to be more to life than what I was experiencing. I was crying out to God, and he heard those cries. And one night I was reading the Bible that when I got to Texas, my brother had given me, and I would read it, and I was hard. I was hard. At that time, I felt bad for the way that I was. I was hard. But I took that Bible, and every night I'd read it before I went to bed, and one of those nights, God brought such conviction upon my soul. Something I couldn't do, he did it. I just had to repent, but he delivered me. And think about you, how you couldn't deliver yourself. And the pull of the world was so strong. But something happened where God heard your cry. And he came and he delivered you. He rescued you. Now, knowing we have a tendency to forget, not so much that we've been delivered, but we forget the Lord. Now here, the Lord saved me when I was 18, 19 years old. I had turned 19 while I was out there. I'm going to be 47. I'm getting to the point where I can't even do basic math anymore. Yeah, 28 years. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to make sure that you guys felt included in this. No. Sometimes we don't forget that we've been delivered, but from the day to day, we forget the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we forget the Lord. And when the Lord delivered us, we were so mindful of him. Remember every day? Every day you wake up so mindful of him. How mindful of him are you now? How mindful of him are we in the day to day? Does he come last? He come halfway through the day? I'll catch up with you at lunchtime. You know, are you just as passionate as you were when he heard your cries? And delivered you from the sin or the bondage of sin that you were in? Have you drifted away from the Lord? If other things come first, they become first. Now, these are all good questions to ask ourselves. Because God wants us to remember him, that he delivered us. And so God, he provides these helps to get us back to the place where we belong with him. Now, this might not be for all of you, but it might be for some of you. You know, these helps, they involve putting into practice the four things that God had put in place for the children of Israel to do. You know, the first is commemoration, to commemorate. You know, when I think of commemorate, I can't think of anything. The first thing that comes to my mind, I don't know about you, but I think of the Lord's Supper. That last supper that the Lord had. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 19, Luke tells us that Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And you know, he did the same thing with the cup. And to commemorate is to really, if you think about it, it's to commune with God. So important to commune with God. You know, when you wake up in the morning, it's so important to commune with God. Throughout the day, being in an attitude of communing with God. It's so important to remember God in your thoughts and to pray and to fellowship with the Lord and to talk to him. To talk to him. To tell him how you're struggling, what you're struggling with, your fears. And to keep that regular accounting with God, just communing with him. I'm not saying that you don't do that, but maybe some of you have lost sight of the importance of remembering God in your day, in your day-to-day. And so right now you can say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm going to purpose in my heart to spend time communing with you first thing in the morning. I'm not going to let another day go by where I neglect you. Because you were faithful to deliver me. And when you delivered me, I was so excited about your word. I would read your word. I was so excited about fellowshipping with you and talking, and I need to get back to that place." This is a help. This is something to help us to remember how God delivered us. And it's so important. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But another help, the second thing, is to educate. To educate. In the text, they were responsible, the parents were responsible to educate their children. And in our home, we've tried our best. I mean, we're not perfect parents. Our children will tell you that. But we've tried our best since they were little to educate our children in the things of the Lord. And as a parent, that should be something that we do on a regular basis. But even for those of us who aren't parents or for those of us who are, either way, you know, there's that educating ourselves. You know, training ourselves, teaching ourselves. And what I mean by that is, you know, being in the Word, like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, and I'm reading out of the King James, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's that time of fellowshipping with God, but there's also that time, and it's so important to get into the Word of God and to study and look at chapters and verses and scriptures and really study to extract what God's heart is in it and to understand sound doctrine. Amen. I'm afraid for the church. The church is filled, not 100%, but there's a lot of folks that are in churches, they don't read their Bibles. They're not reading their Bibles. They read their Bibles. Some read their Bibles like it's a for a Russian roulette. You know, it's like the scripture of the day. You know, it's just open the Bible. Ooh, I don't like that one. Ooh, I don't like that one either. That one's even worse. Oh, this is a good one. All right, thanks, God. That might work when you first get saved, you know, for a little while. But there comes a point where we need to the discipline of study. And that's not a bad word. Discipline is not a bad word. And, you know, it's not to put a trip on anyone, but it's so important to be in the Scriptures. Communion with God in the morning, and then spending time in the Word, educating yourself, and then dedication. That was another thing. You know, obviously we're not called to dedicate the firstborn. We dedicate all our children. And we've dedicated all of our children to the Lord. And some of you've dedicated your children to the Lord. And for you children who've been dedicated to the Lord, that's a responsibility. You are dedicated to God, to the God Most High. Because we want you to know that the God that delivered us out of bondage is your God. He loves you. And you don't remember the day of your dedication, but parents do. And be faithful. Because every parent's heart's desire is to see that their children would walk with the Lord. But also, we are called to be set apart, to be different than this world, and to dedicate ourselves. No matter children or not, we're all called to be dedicated to the Lord, set apart for the Lord. Remember what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, or he wrote to the church at Rome. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, he's talking about, in a sense, purity. You know, dedicating your body, keeping yourself pure, refraining from sexual immorality. Keep yourself pure. Don't entertain those thoughts or those things. Be dedicated to the Lord. Set your body apart for the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy, that there's purity there. Because this is what's acceptable to God. This is what pleases God. And it is our reasonable service. Because he delivered us out of bondage. It's the least we can do out of gratitude. And then the fourth thing is repetition. You just keep repeating these same things. Keep commemorating. Keep communing with God. Keep studying the Word. Don't get out of the habit. Remember, it's been said 7 days without reading the Scriptures makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Remember, it might be lame to some of us, but it's true. And then be dedicated to the Lord. That is your behavior. Be consecrated. You're the Lord's. And just keep repeating these things. Keep repeating these things. Keep repeating these things. And you know why it's so important? Because we live in a battlefield. You know, the children of Israel, they were going to be facing battles. Joshua would be taking over, and then they would have to fight. And you have to be spiritually fit to fight the battle. We live in a battlefield. Some people think we live in a playground. We don't live in a playground. We live in a battleground. And it's so important for us to be spiritually fit. And these basic things that God instilled in the nation of Israel, we can take the principles and continue in them because they'll help us to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Because God has promised us an eternal promised land. And we want to make sure that we don't make shipwreck of our faith. How many people can you think of that are no longer walking with the Lord? You knew them as believers, and now you hear about them, they're not walking with the Lord at all. And I guarantee it's because they stopped communing with God. They stopped learning and educating themselves. They stopped dedicating and keeping themselves pure and holy. They broke that fellowship, and they took for granted the God that offered them deliverance and was there to help them in a crisis of their life. And then they drifted away. They forgot. That shouldn't be any of us. That shouldn't be any of us. And it's so important to repeat these things daily, because there's going to come that day where we're going to see him face to face. And the greatest thing that you can hear from your Savior when you see him is he says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done." Remember, it was the Lord who delivered you. And he is worthy of our dedication to him. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and mercy and grace. We thank you for how you work in our lives. We thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that you continue to pour out your blessings over us as we purpose in our hearts, Lord, to live for your glory and for your honor. We thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you for your peace. And we thank you for your promises, that you are faithful, that you are faithful to your word, and anyone who obeys your word will experience all the blessings and fruit that come from obedience. We love you, and we sing from our hearts to yours. In Jesus' name, amen.